bandwidth and hosting for BagelTech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of BagelTech Photo. Kyle Swagger back. I'm probably the only one that's still not hungover from last week's BagelTech Bash.
Absolutely, mate. What a fantastic time that was. We all got drunk. We all let ourselves silly.
Sorry that I missed it. No, I mean, you guys look like you guys had a great time. I will be there next year, though. I'm at least planning on it. So it really looked like a lot of fun. So it's been one of these weeks again with the news. We do have some little juicy news, but it's been a little thin this week. But we should have a good show packed for you guys. We got Chris Forsman back here with us again. Chris, how's your week been?
Not bad this week. Not bad. Like you said, though, not too much going on in new camera news, but there's some interesting bits here and there.
Thank God you posted this other story in here, because we were lacking news, and we'll get into the Pentax 645D in just a moment. Got to introduce the other two, of course. We'll start off with Ewan. Ewan, have you been recuperating all week?
I've been fine. I had a bit of a twinge on Sunday morning, but I played on Saturday morning, rather. Sunday morning, I played cricket, so that wasn't too bad. Very interesting game, very low scoring. And then I've had a pretty mundane week, really. A little bit here, a little bit there. Drive up to York was great. Met a fantastic bloke named John Peters, who took me out for a beer on Wednesday night. But I had to drive, unfortunately, so I could only have the one. So, but don't tell him I had two.
You just did.
He wouldn't let me pay for it either. He was a super bloke. Wouldn't let me buy the beer, because I'd come all the way to York to see him.
So
I didn't tell him I was working down the road.
Yeah, you have a stalker now.
No. Fabulous bloke.
You invited
bloke.
Your stalker.
Fabulous bloke. Can't complain.
Good deal. And Alex G. Fox has joined us today. Thought we were not going to have you on the show. Thought you had to go get the kids or something, but you squeezed us in.
Well, yes. My loving wife came to the rescue, and everyone's happy again.
Total commitment.
Yes, exactly. We're a BagelTech family now.
Mm. Much
bless
love.
Her heart.
Much love.
Yes. The week in the very microscopic photo news that it is. Let's start off with this, because we were talking about it just before we pressed record, and that's the special edition Pentax 645D camera. Chris seems to know the most about it, so talk us through this, Chris, and then when you're done, tell us how much this thing is.
Well, I haven't gotten information about the final pricing just yet, but the Pentax 645D is a digital version of the Pentax 645 system camera, and you know, it's autofocus. It's got auto and manual exposure. It's a really nice field camera. I many moons ago had the first autofocus 645. Camera that Pentax had released, I want to say in the late 90s, and it was a great camera. And so they had talked about building digital version for many, many years, and finally released one earlier this year, 40 megapixel medium format sensor, and it won an award in Japan as Camera of the Year. So Pentax decided to build this special edition that uses some fancy Japanese lacquering technique, so it just looks nice.
It looks gorgeous, really, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It looks like, you know, like the type of lacquer that's used on cars or guitars and stuff. It looks like guitar paint actually on here.
Red marble, cherry red marbling effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you know, the standard kit with a standard 80 millimeter lens sells for just under $10,000, which is, you know, in terms of medium format digital SLRs, is about, if not the lowest price, I think it's the lowest price one available. And it, you know, it 40 megapixels performs on par with some of the Mamiyas you can get.
Have we actually found a Pentax camera that we can all agree is good?
I'd love one of these. I wouldn't want the funny red one, though.
Oh, no, I like the red one. I don't think you get a choice. Too. I think it's red or red. Any color you like, as long as it's red.
No, I mean,
you can get the standard one comes in black.
Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the original comes in a matte black finish, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, for what I do work-wise, I need no pretty colours. You know, I shoot things behind glass, and I spend half my day covering my tripod and everything I can find in black material so it doesn't reflect. So a nice dull black camera is exactly what I need.
For $10,000, I wanted an orange.
For $10,000, maybe you can have any color you like.
Maybe. I mean, it should be that way. Okay, we're at the Pentax dilemma again. We all love this camera. We all want this camera. When we were looking at it first, I mean, I'm stupidly, me was saying, well, $500-$600, I'd definitely give that. And I was thrown to the curb saying what an idiot I was, because this is obviously a proper
that's your job,
camera.
Dude.
It's Alex. Yeah, yeah. But I was, you know, it's... I'm told that this is a proper camera, but is it a $10,000 Pentax proper camera? I mean, would you give $10,000 for this, Alex? Since you said it's proper, would you give $10,000 for this?
Well, don't tell Pentax, but if you like, you want to balance things up in reality, this is going to shock you, but this is nearer a $12,000 camera that you're getting for $10,000.
Is that an orange?
No, any color you want. But honestly, this is better than a lot of medium format cameras that you'll pay far, far more money for. This is where Pentax should be. A lot of the things that we badmouth them for, I think we're justified. But this here, if you want to get into serious, or not even get into, I don't mean there's get into involved. If you need a serious camera, this is the best camera you will get in the market for that sort of price.
Agree. Yeah.
But I was going to ask you, so you do agree, Ewan, so $10,000, it's burning a hole in your pocket. Go ahead and get it?
No, when we come back to the same old problem of the hit on the lenses and that kind of stuff, because the hit on my lens is going to be in excess of the value of this camera. But if you're able to afford $10,000 to swap the body of a camera over, then you could probably afford the hit on the lenses and not worry about it. You know, just suck it up and take it. It looks really, really nice. It's a lovely finish on the camera. The specs are good. It's a big, big sensor inside, which is the key part. We always say, you know, the bigger the sensor, the higher quality the image. This thing's going to give you a fantastic kick-ass image. And if you've got a Pentax, you know, three or four lenses, it's a no-brainer. If you've got $10,000 in your pocket, I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
The packaging is beautiful. I mean, I like the wooden box it comes in. It just kind of cradles itself. I mean, it's almost like you've bought a Rolex, to be honest. It's just a shame that it says Pentax on the front.
Oh, no, I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's fair.
I think that's fair. No, okay. I think the reason that we... this is what, going back to what Alex says. You know, the reason that we kick Pentax is because they do some really stupid stuff. They take great quality specs. They take really good hardware. And then they paint it a ridiculous color, or they make it look like it's sponsored by Lego. You know, that's where they fall down. It's the marketing slip at the end that screws up Pentax. It's not the quality of the hardware, because generally speaking, most Pentax cameras shoot very, very well. They're at least equal to the competitors around them.
Yeah, I'll take that statement. But I mean, it does look beautiful, so I will take that back. But Chris, bring us back around, and we'll move on to the next story. Sum us up.
Yeah, like kind of adding to what he was saying, I wouldn't even say the marketing is necessarily stupid. I think it's stupid from the point of view of most professionals or advanced amateurs, and that's not a market that Pentax typically chases with its point-and-shoots or even its most of its digital SLRs, but the 645D is geared strictly towards professionals, and it shows. I mean, if you've ever picked up one and handled one, I mean, a lot of medium format digital SLRs don't work well outside of the studio, but the way the Pentax 645D and its predecessors were designed, it's a field camera. It's designed to take out outside of the studio and use, and it works great for that.
That looks good, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper than a Hasselblad.
Yes.
An awful lot.
Next story, guys. One that caught Ewan's eye, and I'm going to ask him a little bit about it, is the new Nikon 40mm 2.8 macro lens. It's been confirmed for the UK, it says here, Ewan. And you said that you're drooling over this, other than the fact that you're a Canon user. So what does this mean?
Well, the interesting thing is that last week I got a question from one of the listeners at the Bash, thinking about getting a DSLR, didn't know where to go for Canon or Nikon, which route to take. And I've got to say, at the honest point at the moment, I think, you know, if you're looking at the broad brush of the flexibility of cameras available. I think Nikon's got it over Canon at the moment. I wouldn't purchase a Canon now, first off. But then when I saw this camera, this lens come out at 40mm, 2.8, hugely artistic, very, very flexible, and you've got one-to-one macro on it as well, as which is huge as an advantage. If I was, you know, teetering even slightly on Canon versus Nikon, at £250, this would have thrown me over the edge in a heartbeat. I'd have gone and purchased the Nikon. I think the relevant person asked Alice what he thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, now what's Alex's opinion on it? And then I'm going to come back to you to see if you're going to do the switcheroo. Tell us opinion. And think about it for a few. Alex,
There's two things. It's a really nice lens. It's a good length, 40mm for macro. It's a 2.8, a great aperture for macro. And what's really interesting about this, it's a DX lens. And just to explain, Carl, if you remember, we were talking about different sizes of sensors. So right. You've got sort of 3/4 size and you've got a full size sensor. Well, the majority of amateur to prosumer cameras that Nikon make are this smaller size, which they call DX. Now, normally, if you want a higher end lens, you can't get one specifically made for these cameras. But this one is a high end lens that fits these cameras. You know, it's designed to be used for these. And I think for that reason, it's opened up a whole new section of quality photography for people in the sort of consumer and prosumer market. And I think for that reason, it's a very, very good step forward. And it also means Nikon are looking at supporting DX for quite a while longer. And I honestly thought, you know, with their, you know, newer cameras coming out, I thought there'd be something they're moving away from. So they're obviously not, if they're going to support it with a pretty good high-end macro camera, macro lens rather.
249, basically £250, good price that I'm seeing anyways for the lens. Obviously, I mean, Chris, I mean, is Nikon the future? Nikon keeps coming up on this program like they're the ones that are innovating, they're the ones that are pushing forward. Is that what you're seeing here when it comes to lenses and cameras alike?
I've only used exclusively Canon digital SLRs. I was particularly really impressed with the D700 when it came out, and that camera kind of enticed me to consider switching at one point. So there's always kind of been this, you know, Nikon better, Canon better fight for years and years. So do I think that there's a definitive answer to that debate? No, I don't think there's ever going to be. But I mean, absolutely, this lens is such a great deal when you consider, you know, the standard 60mm 2.8 macro lens that Nikon makes is over $500. And you've got this version geared towards these lower end digital cameras that comes in at like basically half the price. You know, and that's. It's just a great value. It's absolutely a great value. So, you know, if you're using one of the non full frame cameras, obviously they're making lenses for those users, and so it's definitely worth considering. Me personally, it speaks nothing of the image quality, but the lower end Nikon SLRs, I'm just not comfortable with, like the design and the layout of the controls, and I was just never personally comfortable with that. So, you know, that's another factor in there. But
personal preference.
Well, yeah. You say that, but I mean, if you look at the Canon range, one of the things that you'll see in the Canon range is a very big separation of control layout. They're not ergonomically consistent at all.
Yeah.
But just one more quick thing about this lens, because it's a DX, if you use it on an FX, which is their full frame lens, it just ups it to a standard 60mm 2.8 macro lens, which is your standard lens. So you've got best of both worlds. This camera is usable, DX perfect, FX just as good. I think they've really thought this through and come up with
I think they've really hit the nail on the head, exactly.
Mm.
So you're saying it works on a full-frame camera?
Yeah, all you do is you add your multiplier to it. So on a full frame, it goes from 40 to 60mm.
Huh.
Yeah, it's any DX lens will work on any FX camera. You just get a 1.5 multiplier.
Huh.
See, you learn something every day, Chris.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I mean,
I'm amazed.
You know, it's funny that you say, Chris, about, you know, Canon and Nikon and all of this, and we, you know, obviously at the in this corner we have Ewan in the red trunks, and in the other corner we have Alex in the blue. But Ewan, I get the feeling from you that with the, and I want to know why, actually. When you see this lens, I asked you, are you going to buy a Nikon camera because of the lens?
I think I would. I think that. I mean, I'm erring towards Nikon anyway a little bit now at the moment because Canon is just so uninventive, it would seem, in my eyes. I'll take that as different for everyone else's. And some of the diehard Canon fanboys aren't going to like that statement. I'm practical, but I'm also practical to the point that I've got too many lenses to just walk away from Canon. But the one thing that you tend to find, I think Chris touched on this here, is when you talk about the fixed prime lenses, and then you go down to the ones that are down at 2.8 or lower, generally speaking, you'll find that you'll pay an awful lot more for those lenses. And with the macro added in, you know, you can get a great lens at the f1.8 with the Canon for 50mm. But then just if you want to go to the 1.4, all of a sudden you're adding £300 to the price of that thing. With this thing, the spec of this, the nearest Canon lens that you're going to get that's going to be at this level of spec with the macro added, is probably going to cost you nearer £500. So this price is phenomenal, which is where I think Alex is right. You know, they've really hit the nail on the head with this in the market. They've seriously thought about it, and they've pitched it exactly the right level. And anyone who's got any kind of doubt in their mind is going to look at 250, and they're going to be sharpening their credit card straight away. Would I buy a body? I'd buy a simplistic Nikon body to go with this lens rather than avoid the lens, if that makes sense. Which sounds stupid, maybe, but you know, I'd like the lens just for the creativity and the flexibility that I've got with it, and I'd probably keep. I'd have a macro setup then that was pure Nikon.
It's interesting if you think about it, because when you're using a 40mm macro lens, it tends to be something to set up shot. You're not going to be wandering around at a party wanting to use a 40mm macro lens, so you're not going to need a particularly high end body to achieve what you want. Mm. You know, you're going to be using either lighting rig or you're going to be doing flowers in beautiful outdoor sunlight. So, you know, you could get away with a £500 body. And obviously, you know, a second-hand body will be just as good. So, you know, you could buy this lens for £250 and spend second-hand £250 on a camera and have something, you know, perfectly usable.
Yeah, I was thinking about going on eBay.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, this is a perfect eBay, you know, when you want to put your stuff on eBay, this is a perfect lens to use.
The thing I'm seeing about Nikon, and from the amateur, definitely the amateur point of view, is I feel that they are entering a market for people like myself, and they're able to drive me in to spend that little bit more, first and foremost because of the name, but secondly because of the quality that they're putting out, the features that they're putting into these cameras. And when you see something like this, a lens that's priced, obviously phenomenally priced, and what you can do with it, I think that's, and quote me if I'm, or say something if I'm wrong, but don't you think that's why it seems that they are winning the market right now? Canon, I see so many commercials for Canon over here in the Philippines, but I rarely see Canon cameras flying off the shelf.
What I think is really interesting is that Nikon used to have a reputation of being strictly for professionals, you know, and truly some of their amateur the N50, I mean, that was a piece of garbage, it was terrible. But you know, Canon always had a reputation as really appealing, you know, like the Rebel line and the AE series cameras, like, really appealed towards a much wider mass audience. And I think that what we're seeing now is kind of a reversal of that, you know, like the 1D, even the 5D series cameras, you know, Canon's really focused a lot of attention on professionals as of late, where Nikon kind of saw room to come in here and really capture more of that amateur market that, you know, maybe might have gone to even to someone like Pentax before, but definitely would have gone to like a Digital Rebel even five, six years ago. So I think it's kind of like almost switching roles in a sense, at least in the consumer space. You know, I definitely say that a lot of professionals too are also considering, if not outright switching to Nikon, at least getting a body and maybe a lens or two to sort of, you know, supplement and maybe put their feet in the water for a minute and see what it's like.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, to me, honestly, I mean, I think that's, to kind of sum it up, is that how I feel about Nikon. I think you hit it on the head, Chris, is that it is a pro, we've always seen it as a pro camera, that is. And I think by them entering the market, as for people like myself, we feel that we're actually getting something because of the name already. Now, yeah, they have made some crap, but it feels like here lately they have been really, really doing well in the market and getting the right camera with the right person, if that makes any sense. The way they market themselves to me in the last couple of years has been really, really good. So, because honestly, I never see any Nikon commercials, but I always go towards that camera. But the Canon ones I see all over the place. But it's like no one wants to sell me one, or I just don't see them being sold. So maybe you might be onto something there, that you really feel as a Canon user, you feel like you've been left behind.
I do. I think there's probably a few more people think that as well.
Well, maybe that's,
yeah, I mean, for those
more
not on video, Ewan was squirming all the way through your soliloquy over Nikon.
Speaking of squirming, I have to ask something. Ewan, are you cleaning out your keyboard?
No, I'm not touching the keyboard.
I keep hearing like this shh, shh.
It's not me.
Okay. Settles that. Next story. Never mind. Edit that out. Edit point. The Olo Clip, how the heck do you say this stupid thing, for the iPhone? This thing, months ago, guys, we seen this 3-in-1 lens for the iPhone. You clip the little thing on it, and then you could, I guess, you focus it or whatever you do. We kind of thought, yeah, this thing, if it ever goes, fine, you know, but we didn't think much of it. Well, it's got released, and it's, I'm trying to actually look for a price on this thing. 70, yeah, okay. So we heard, I think back then, weren't we thinking it was going to be like $30 or $49, something like that. So it ended up being a little bit more in the price.
Well,
do
I
we
think
still
back
think
the,
that this... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I think back then, wasn't the story that they want, if you wanted to help fund the production,
yeah,
of this, they'd give you a you know, 50%
right,
discount. Mm. So this must, yeah, be, now they've had all the funding and now they're going to market with the full price.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that now. Thank you, Alex. Yeah, and so what do we think of it? It's here. It's proof of concept. Now it's there.
Yeah, what do
we
think
of
it?
For
I don't think any more
bucks
of it for $70 than I did when it was $35.
Oh, that says it all.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else to say. I'll pass.
Well, personally, I like it. I mean, but I use my iPhone for everything. So this would be, all right, from the point of view, is this the type of thing, person like myself, takes a lot of photos with my iPhone, not ready to jump up into getting an actual camera. Is this going to give me the results that I think it's going to give me, or is it? I think you said at one point, Ewan, a gimmick.
There is a gimmick element to this thing, but having said that, you know, if you look at what you've got in the iPhone camera, we talked regularly about whether you go out and you take the iPhone camera instead of a compact. Well, I still don't think it's up to go in instead of a compact. Next iteration, perhaps. This thing will probably go across the next iteration of the iPhone, because the iPhone's probably not going to change body shape in the next one. If there's a much better camera in the next iPhone, this thing suddenly looks like a good buy at $70, doesn't it? It gives you a lot on the wide angle. It gives you a bit on the zoom as well. There's three combinations of the lens. I bet you the actual manufacture of this thing wasn't particularly easy, because it's got to have decent quality glass in it to a certain level before it'll even start to perform at all. And if you think about the fact you're going to use this not just with stills, but this is going to work with your video stuff as well, as you've now got wide angle, right, video shots and that kind of thing, I think 70 is a bit pricey. but I like the concept, and I think at $40, I'd have the Randolph.
Now I'm looking at the pictures here. They have some samples over at Engadget right now for the thing, and they have some sample pictures here. Most are outside in very bright light. Mm. And we all already know that the iPhone does really well in bright light. Are we seeing any $70 difference here? Chris, are you at the page right now over at Engadget?
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it now.
Are you seeing a difference between just the regular, I went out, bright sunlight, shot the picture, does it look crisper to you? Does it look $70 crisper to you?
Well, I don't think the point is to be necessarily crisper. These are adapters like these have been available for SLR cameras for a long time, and they're not, they tend to have some distortion, some chromatic aberrations, but they're cheap. And when you're talking about the iPhone, I mean, it's not an interchangeable lens camera, so this is your only option. If you want to get something different than the lens built into the camera, if you want to get a different view, this is your option. So, as far as it worth $70, a lot of these type filters for video cameras or for still cameras cost about anywhere from $50 to $70 per lens, and you're getting essentially three. From what I'm seeing, though, it's also really well made. Machined aluminum barrels and at least decent quality glass. Certainly not like something you'd find even in a SLR lens, but I think good enough. Would I pay $70 for it? Probably. I probably would.
Sucker.
Alex. Alex, would you pay $70 for this thing?
Oh, my house is full of crap. I'd probably buy it anyway.
You know you would.
Yeah, but you know what? I was just thinking, it's just something Chris said. It's because it's an add-on lens. I know it's an if, because it can't happen, but the problem I have with them is you're starting off with a camera with a lens, and then you're sticking another lens on it. If, for instance, they literally had an open plate, literally a glass cover over their filter, and then on, the say, iPhone or any other camera, then it would be like putting a proper lens in front of a sensor. Then it would work better. But what you're doing is you've got a lens that's trying to focus onto another lens, which is then trying to distort it back to the phone again. So if maybe iPhone, maybe in the next iteration, what they should do, they should have the camera as it is, and they should have the front camera as it is, and they should have a separate, even if it was just the mirror somehow, mirror system inside.
And a bayonet fitting?
Yeah, you could literally have something that clipped
great.
On.
That would really work.
Without a lens on the front, and the lens
they should work
you
with
add
Pentax
on
that.
Afterwards. It could be magnetic. Look at the way they've stuck a magnetic front on. Oh, my word. Don't tell anyone. I've come up with a blinding idea. You could have a magnetic attachment on a sensor front which doesn't have a lens on it. And you could do that with mirrors. Oh, don't tell anyone. That was too good an idea.
copyright, trademark, yeah, copyright.
You're right. I'll give some of it to Bageltech. We're all millionaires. Yeah.
Woo.
Chris had a point, though. Maybe Apple should team up with Fintechs.
Yeah.
If they're going to do a bayonet mount.
I'd buy one. It's because it's still, even though this is an accessory you have to keep track of, the iPhone is still the camera I go to, the shot I take. And I'm looking at some of the shots, and I'm of the plants here, of the
especially
inner
the
of the flower.
Shots look amazing.
It's really. Tell me that ain't good, Ewan.
I think what you can see is typically when you look towards the edge of the images, that's when they start to break down pretty badly, particularly the wide angle ones. You know, the center's quite nice and sharp and crisp, but as soon as you get out towards sort of 2/3 of the way out of the corners. It gets very kludgy very quickly. I mean, it'll take some sharpening in Photoshop that'll bring it back a little bit. But when you've got the one thing that you struggle with, sharpening helps you. And if you, like Alex said this the other week, good sharpening makes an image, bad sharpening ruins an image. the trouble that you've got with sharpening is where you've got aberration across the image, where you've got something that looks like it's in focus and then something that's just ridiculously out of focus. You're never going to spot sharpen or pull that back to a great degree. I've had some success making masks where I've sharpened one mask and left another mask at a different sharpness and then just erased the difference between the two with a really feathered edge to it. But you start with crap, you end with crap. That's Alex's phrase, and it's true. I think this has
elitist.
No, no, no. I'm not being. I'm the last person to be elitist, Chris. Take that back, you bugger.
I'm joking.
The one thing I'm going to say is that if you're talking about would I take this thing out on a day out with the kids, and the wife's got the Lumix and she's off taking a picture of Briny, and Ellis is doing something, I want to take a picture of Ellis, or I want to shoot a little video with him on a swing where he's coming forwards and backwards towards me with the wide angle on it, in a heartbeat, for the artistic effect and stuff, the fact that this is just going to be a bit of 720p video that I'll make into a family movie that only us is going to watch, absolutely, no question. Am I going to take a picture with it that I want to keep forever and blow up to 4 foot by 3 foot on the wall? It's not going to manage it. You know, so that's something you got to. It's a use case. It's about, you know, what you want to do with it. You want a quick action video with a wide angle. I mean, there's nothing better than a swing coming towards a wide angle lens. A, for the photographer, because of the adrenaline, you never know whether they're going to hit you or not. And B, the fact that it's just such a fantastic effect. You stick that on video, God, go for it.
True. I think we're all in agreement that we'll buy this piece of crap.
Based on the exchange rate, yes, no question. £70, stick it.
It's a nice piece of crap.
It is.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of crap.
It's funny. Is this the new photographic color then? Because it's a very similar color to the Pentax.
Yeah.
Maybe orange is the new black.
Possibly.
I think it's anodized red.
Oh, sorry.
So I think just the pictures look a little orange because the lighting is warm.
Definitely.
It's warm. $70 warm. I'm getting one. I'll let you guys know here in 3 months when it arrives at customs.
I'm going to ask for a review unit. Stuff that.
Shall we do a question? We have a question. It came into us. Actually, Russ is in the chat room right now. He sent us in a question. Shall we answer it for him or try to?
Absolutely.
It says, quick question, guys. I've got a Canon 500D, and I'm looking for a decent wide-angle lens to experiment with. So and so on a budget. All I've got is the 18-55 EFS kit lens, so I'm looking for something a little wider.
Ooh.
Who wants to start us off? Chris.
Well, I'm the only non-Canon, not me.
Yeah. Obviously.
I was going to say that the 10-22, but it's is a great lens, but it's not cheap.
No.
And that's on the over here. It's about $850. So, I think a prime. They have. I feel like Canon just released a new prime recently that was, I thought was a good deal. So let me see if I can find that real quick.
Right, prime rib.
Prime
what's
lens.
It called? Prime. I know. What's it? What's the never mind.
The 10-22 is working out at about £650 over here in the UK. So that's a $1,000 lens for the States. The Sigma do a 17-70, which is $349. But if you've got an 18 already, that seems a bit of a waste of time. And Tamron do a 10-24 at £358. So
yeah,
the Sigma 12-24 is an absolutely gorgeous lens. I have one of those, and I would definitely recommend it. But you ain't going to get that below £400 either. I'm afraid, Russ, that you're in a bit of a no-win situation there.
Yeah. Well, even on eBay, we talk about secondhand all the time. Is eBay an option for these kind of things?
I got my Sigma off there secondhand. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I mean, I've never bought a lens that scratched off eBay, to be honest. So
I'd go and buy an Olo Clip 3-in-1 lens and glue it to the front.
Go and get a piece of a telescope and try some gaffer tape. That might work.
The only thing I'd say is once you go below 18 and you start playing around with 12, it's a very specialist look to your picture. So
it is.
You know, I hope you're aware that you're not actually going to get wide lenses in, you know, something that isn't going to look completely distorted.
I'm also desperately trying to find out whether the 500D has got the crop factoring on it, because
yes,
I think it has.
Yeah.
So if you've got an 18mm lens anyway, you're going to struggle because you're already starting at 27 mil. Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. If it's an 18 mil built for a DX, I don't know what the Canon format is for
DC.
DC. So if it's a DC lens at 18 mil,
EF is the standard fixed format for full frame, and EFS is the sports version for the crop factored stuff if you buy the Canon lenses, and it's the DC and the DX for the Sigmas, I think.
Yeah, quite likely. So that 18, is it functioning as an 18, that lens? I mind you, if it came as a kit, it must be the right lens for the camera.
Yeah, if it's a DX or an EFS lens, the EFS lens will function as 18 millimeters. But if it's not, the chances are you're already starting at 27 millimeters anyway. So you're really going to struggle with that.
Well, if you're starting at 27 millimeters, that explains why he wants something slightly wider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go and buy yourself the appropriate 18 to 55. And if it's normally a kit lens, it's probably fairly cheap. Yeah. You know, it'll be half the price of anything else. So just check that you have got the cropped version of the lens for your cropped sensor.
He does. He's got the 18 to 55 EFS.
Oh, so it's the right lens. Another silly question. There isn't a sort of a clip-on front, you know, like an holo clip, but you used to be able to literally just put things in front of your lenses which would widen it. It was pretty variable and it wasn't anything that was particularly clever.
Tamron do a kit.
Yeah.
Oh, they still do? Okay.
Yeah, Tamron do a kit that's got it's a thread fitting, so you'll have to get yourself a standard, your 18 to 15 mil standard lens film, and then you screw on a not Tamron, what's the people that
Hoya
make... No.
Kenko?
Begins with a T.
Tokina?
Tippin.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Tippin used to do a screwing thing. That's it. Tippin, not Tamron. Tippin, try them. I mean, eBay is the best place to start for that kind of stuff because there's no end of little gadgets kicking around on eBay that do little things. I bought a set of macro tubes off eBay. They were bloody fantastic. They cost me £5. I got 10 macro tubes that you can either all have together in a thing that was a sort of, you know, 6 inches long, or you could unscrew them and do multiple variations of it. You had to manually focus, and now the fact I'm blind means I can't do it anymore. But I could probably sell them on eBay for about £25 now.
But what's interesting with this, if you're putting it after the lens fact, you actually end up with all your autofocus intact.
Yes,
if you're screwing it on the front,
just like
so
the
you don't have
the
option.
The iPhone,
there's bound to be some Chinese manufacturer that makes something for 25 cents that does it exactly the way what you want. You've just got to find it. Probably in Carl's local market.
Did you find that information on the prime lens there, Chris?
No. I just must have had some fanciful idea in my head that there was something out there. But like I said, immediately it came to mind was the 10-22 zoom lens from Canon, but that is not cheap. Tamron makes something similar. Tokina makes a really nice 11-16 2.8 lens, which is about 600, so it's a little bit less expensive. They also make a 12-24 f/4 lens. That's another $100 less, about 500 there. But the real issue is that once you get into below 18 millimeters DSLR, you're talking basically ultra wide, and that's low volume, high price type lenses.
Yeah,
typically.
I mean, it's an EFS lens, so he's stuck in the EFS range or the DC range for Sigma. So.
Or alternatively, stand further back.
Is that your cheap thingy?
Yeah, that's right. Stand further back.
Yeah,
open the window.
Shoot outside the
Do you
the
know
window.
How many times I've had to do that?
you're going to be spending £350 to £500. Sorry, Russ, there's nothing else we can tell you.
Yeah, I'd say get on eBay, and we've got you some pointers there. Get on there and try to get the best deal you can there, Russ. So, and speaking of cheap thingies, do we all have any cheap thingies? Ewan, do you have a cheap thingy?
I've got one.
Cool.
I mentioned it last week on the photo show, but I didn't pick it as my cheap thing, I don't think. If I did, I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat myself. If you go to photojojo.com, they have got a picture. I've ordered it. It's a ring flash. It's got to come from the States, unfortunately, though. And
unfortunately?
Well, no, because it just takes a long time, not because it's I'm not touching anything that's American. Good God. Frigging colonials. No, the it's a flash unit that fits onto your existing speed flash and comes down and gives you a ring flash around the lens. Now, I know I've recommended the cheap thing from Wilco, and that still works just fine if you haven't got it. But this thing's $50, 35 quid. It's cost me 37 quid, including shipping, which means some poor guy's on a pedal, though, coming over from the States with it. I don't think I'm even going to get it on a ship for that. But it's gorgeous, and while you're talking, I'll find a picture of it and throw it up on the feed for the video. But it's the ring flash, and it's one of their best sellers, unquote. And I'm not surprised at the price.
You said it's photojojo.com.
Photojojo.com.
So, because I'm looking right here, all I see is the new Intax Mini 25. It's Polaroid Reborn. $125 at Photo Jojo store.
Yeah, but that's not it.
Okay, that's not it.
It's $40, not
$30.
Go find
it, please.
Oh, it's only $40. I paid $50 last week. The gits.
Got you on shipping.
It's good results as well, by the looks. It looks fine. It's loads of little prisms and stuff like that work on it. So.
Looks cool.
I'll try and get a picture on it. Away you go. Find someone else.
Good deal. Chris, cheap thingy?
I do have a something my girlfriend was using, but she is a crafter. And so she has tons and tons of paper that she uses for crafting. They come in these 12 by 12 inch sheets, and she's been using them as backdrops to shoot small objects. So instead of having just a setting on the table or something, she uses this nice paper, and it's, you know, anywhere from like 50 cents to $1 a sheet, I suppose. But she's got some really nice you know, effects, you know, choosing different colors and different patterns to fit whatever she's shooting. So I thought that was pretty clever. And inexpensive.
So it's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Paper. There you go. I've stuck a picture on the video feed, so if you've got the video feed, you can have a look at it. But
I'll wait for the delay come around.
The O flash, and it looks very, very super gorgeous, and it works pretty well from the photos I've seen, the examples they've put up. So I was hoping it was going to be here tonight because I'm supposed to be shooting a 21st birthday party tomorrow, so it was going to be perfect to walk around with that.
Actually, that looks pretty cool.
Ah, see?
I kind of like that.
$40.
I wonder if that works with the iPhone.
Maybe, but there's no flash on the iPhone that's big enough to take it, so.
Oh, well.
Oh, do you think they're going to do a through-the-lens mount for the iPhone? Is that going to be the thing, next thing? You'd be able to put your speed light on the top of it. That's go through the 30-pin dot connector at the bottom, and it put a full flash gun on. Very good.
So I got to, we had a just sort of iPhoneCameraCrap.com. We had to start that.
That's really already going, I'm sure.
I can't buy any more Alex. From UK too. Right, my cheap thing, and it is cheap, and it is quite wonderful to get people into photography. Now,
other than opening up a window.
Opening up a window. You could open up a window if you wanted. Now, what it is there's various kits out there to do pinhole photography. But one of the ones, I saw a lovely kit, which was like a build-it-yourself kit that somebody showed me the other day. And to be honest, you really needed to know what you were doing. You know, it wasn't a first attempt at building a pinhole camera kit. But there is a Science Museum pinhole camera for the exorbitant price of £11.
Mm.
And if you want to get your children into photography or anything like that, just, you know, it's a science project. There's lots to do with it. You know, pinhole photography, I mean, you want a wide-angle lens, use this. You know, my dad used to tell a story of when he used to have, years ago, when we still had telephone boxes, and he made a pinhole camera that he stuck in the corner of the telephone box, and when he developed it, you could see all four walls of the inside of the telephone box. So that's pretty wide angle.
That's good.
So there's a pinhole camera kit here. I'm looking at the price on Amazon. It is £11. You don't use film, you actually use sensitized paper inside it, and you can buy from Amazon again a packet of sensitized paper for £4.60. So
that's not bad.
You could really, yeah, you know, a weekend of
where are you going to get children. It processed?
That's what I was going to say.
I could get it processed.
Where yeah, you could and I could, but where's Kyle going to get it processed?
Well, especially here in Manila.
If Kyle wanted to process it, I would say spend another £10 and buy yourself a little processing kit. Learn the whole thing in one day.
Your cheap thingy is currently at £40.
No, right.
It's adding up.
The original kit is £11. Right? I reckon you could buy a home processing kit for another tenner.
Buy a photo lab, half a million.
Well, I don't think you could find one now.
What Alex loves is he took so much effort to get here this afternoon, and all I'm doing is taking the mick out of him. So
it's all right. I mean, I was going to mention Will Green's pick, which was a daguerreotype, because we know how. And I know.
Hey, you leave Will alone. He knows about quantization, mate. Don't you start on him.
Yeah, but I bet he can't spell it.
And does it have an SD card slot? Is in the chat room? No.
You slip the paper in the bag. That's sort.
It's kind of. It's like year one SD card.
Yeah, well, I think you can get some medication for SD cards. You have to go to the SD card clinic, though.
Alex's pick is like a MasterCard commercial. It's priceless.
It is.
This show, each and every week, is brought to you by our very, very loving people over there at UK2.net. Ewan, you had a conversation with him again this week, saying they're, I guess, we're sending enough their way that they're going to keep letting us turn out this show and all of our shows each and every week, which is fantastic. Go to BagelTechNews.com. You hear us talk about it every week, and click on the UK2 emblem at the bottom of the page. That way they know we send you over there, and that basically keeps us on the air. Just by doing that, go over there, have a look. 15% off. I suppose that's still going, right? You own 15% off the.
Yeah, you put in BagelTech as a code. BagelTech as a code, right. All one word, and you'll get 15% off. And they did tell us that there's an awful lot of people who are going to the site and buying using our click through, and they're not using the coupon code and getting the 15% off. If you don't use it, you lose out. We don't gain anything by you not clicking that. They don't send us any money or anything. It's a your loss, and that's the end of it.
So use that code. Take advantage of it. And we appreciate you guys using the click-through, but if you're going to click through, take advantage of that. 15% off. BagelTech is the code off anything over there. 15% off. Use the code BagelTech. Thank you, UK2, for continuing to support us and not having us to have to take out a 3 or 4 or 5 time mortgage on our homes. Because literally, with the bandwidth we're sucking up, I don't think we could afford to keep doing these things without them. So thank you, UK2.net. It's come to that time now, guys, where we've reached the end of another edition of the BagelTech Photo Podcast. But before we go, we have to let you know where to get a hold of these fine gentlemen. Chris, where can we get a hold of you?
I report regularly for Ars Technica, various tech news, so you can see me there at arstechnica.com. I'm also on Twitter at Foresmac, Foresmac.
Good man.
Cool deal. Mm-hmm. Cool deal. Ewan. Where can we get a hold of you?
You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter or at Bagel Tech News on Twitter, and my commercial website is ewanrankin.co.uk for photography.
Sweet. And Alex, go ahead.
Okay, well, you can get me at Alex G. Fox on Twitter. And but. Also... and also... dun, 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 my famous sign-off was alexgfox@twitterything.com. So I bought it. So... when I actually, in about 10 minutes, go around to setting up the email addresses, you will be able to get me at alexgfox@twitterything.com.
And,
cool.
And where did you buy it from, Alex?
I bought that from uk2.net.
Oh.
15% off.
Oh.
Along with all the other things I bought just to make sure no one could get hold of them. So I have so many websites, I have no idea what I'm going to do with them.
The Twittery thing, you got to get up and running, even if it just says follow me here.
I've got a thing on it that no longer says UK2, I'm afraid. It just says twitterything.com.
Actually, what you should do is say twitterything.com and then have a link to your Google Plus page.
Yeah, I got Google. Oh, it's just get me anywhere. Too I think much. If you just stand outside, shout my name, it will get to me somehow. That's how connected
as long as there's a phone booth for him to change in.
That's right.
As long as I move the pinhole camera first, because I don't want to be caught on that.
On that note, we will be back next week with some more photo technology news coming your way. I don't know if Chris is going to be with us next week. Chris, you coming next week? Or is it your week off?
There you go. That's what he thinks of that.
Okay. It's his week off.
He's going.
And that settles it. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. We love all of you. Bye for now.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.